Well, let's look at some of our scripture for today, and let's look at Philippians 3:15. Well, more or less just the first half of verse 15 to start. Philippians 3:15, the first half. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. I wanted to start here because sometimes different translations of the Bible use different words. And if you have a King James Version or a New American Standard Bible, you're going to see that instead of that word mature being used, you'll see the word perfect. I think I have the New American Standard on here. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. So we learned last week that Paul is telling us that he's not perfect. He has not arrived, and now it seems that he's telling us that he is among those who are perfect. I'll scratch my head for you if you're following along with me here. But you almost wonder, is Paul okay? Is there something wrong with Paul? Because it seems like he's saying two different things. Are we missing something? And I want to assure you that Paul is definitely okay, and we are missing something. Paul will often use the language. He'll use words within the Greek language to help make a point. He'll do things like a play on words that helps to make that point or make it more memorable. And it doesn't always translate the best. So what is Paul saying here? It's kind of like if you are really perfect, then you would realize that you're not yet perfect. The closer you get to perfection, the more pronounced your imperfections become. They stick out more clearly. And so many of the translations of the Bible that we see, the main ones like the NIV or the ESV or NLT, they really see that by the context of what's being written here, that Paul is meaning the word is more should be better understood as mature. So those who are mature in Christ will understand that they are not yet perfect. And that's the attitude that we should all have. An attitude that there's always more room for work. There's more to be obtained. There's room to grow. There's room to learn more about Christ. And chapter 3 so far has given us a mountain of areas that we can press onward and upward in. Chapter 3 has been full of things. Things like putting our confidence in the Lord and less in ourselves. And whatever brings us as individuals profit, whatever profits us as individuals, that's a loss to Christ. Everything is a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. To know Jesus as our Lord is our goal, but that's also the life's journey that we're walking, that we're living. It's gaining a level of spiritual maturity along the way as our knowledge in Christ grows and as we become more like Christ in our hearts, in our thoughts, and in our actions. But let's go back to the both verses 15 and 16 and read both of those. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Over the years, I've read this verse many times. Oftentimes, if it's in just my normal Bible reading, I'll read through it, kind of think I understand what's going on, and just keep reading on. But then when I'm going through a study like this, it's like God speaks even more, teaches me something new. Even when I think I fully understand something, God speaks to me and shows me that there's new things that He has, even in verses like these. See, Paul, as I said, is calling us to have a unified attitude of pressing on in our knowledge of Christ, which in turn increases our maturity. But what about those who think differently on one of those points? Paul believes that God will make clear to those who think differently. We know that there were issues of disunity in the church in Philippi. And Paul is somewhat returning to that issue of unity here. A lot of what he is saying in Philippians will in some way impact that topic of unity, just because the church in Philippi was struggling. Unity is an important issue. And I've said many times over the years that a church can withstand so many different things from outside. You know, all the churches that suffered persecution, the assaults from outside of the church, or there may be other areas of trouble that are affecting the outside of the church. And together a church is strong, and they can withstand so much. But a church that has turmoil from within can be easily broken. Because a church that is struggling with disunity, it's not an attack from outside, it's tearing itself apart. And that's what Paul is, in this letter, he speaks a lot on unity. And I wanted to take a moment to talk to you about something this morning. And I know that a number of you here are voting members of Christ Community Church. And many of you know the details, and some of you that are not voting members, you may not know a lot of details, but you know that our church has had a couple special meetings, special business meetings, and it was said that there was some proposed changes to our church bylaws, and that was in the area of church membership. And the ideal hope was to make positive updates and changes. Yet after those meetings, we realized that not everyone agreed with all the parts of those proposed changes. And that proposal was never voted on. If you're not a part of the business meetings, you might not know that. But just to let you know, those proposed changes were never voted on. What's the next step going to be? Prayer. That's the next step, is prayer. Is it possible that no changes will be made in the future? Yes, that's a possibility. Is it possible that further discussion and the changes will be accepted at a later date? Yes, that's a possibility. There's a third possibility too, that God may be showing us something else in our time of prayer. Maybe the Lord has another step for us that we don't know yet know. But I can tell you that the deacons and the elders have strongly desired to maintain unity within the church, and we've prayed a long time against any form of disunity. Our desire is to see that the Lord lead in whatever direction He desires for Christ Community Church. And we're currently asking the Lord to fulfill that second half of verse 15. If the change should happen, make that clear to all. If the change should not happen, make that clear to all. If there's something yet to be revealed, Lord, make that clear to all. And I would ask that everyone here would join us in prayer for that clarity and direction. So that's my request, is that all of you would lift this church in prayer. And there's a reason why I'm saying this, because that is part of the scripture. And I want you as a church to know a little what may be going on in a business meeting. I know some have asked me, well, was there any changes made? Well, no. I guess the short answer is no. Paul was emphatic in believing that Christ is the head of the church, and that we as a local church are part of his body. Jesus is the head, and he's to guide and direct his church. That should be for every church. They should be looking to him as their head for guidance and direction. And we want to see this church as a beacon in our community, which it has been, and it's growing more. And the body of Christ is working to minister and share the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what we are doing. And we're called to operate as one. I love Ephesians 3:6, and I wanted to read that here this morning. Ephesians 3:6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Two very distinct people groups together as one. Now, if you think about how many different things are written in the Old Testament, and how putting down the Gentile godless people versus God's chosen people of Israel, you can see that attitude has a long history. And now we're reading here in Ephesians that these two, through the gospel of Christ, become one body. I'd have to say that wasn't easy. I want you to take a moment to, I know some of you are visiting, but I want you to take a moment to look around. Look around in here and see who it is that is worshiping around you. Go ahead, take a glance. Look around, smile, wave. Nod your head. Hey, glad to see you here. We have a tremendous variety here. We have first-generation Christians. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have many different denominational backgrounds. As I was mentally going through my mind of different people that I know and some of the backgrounds that we have here, we have people that have grown up or been a part of Baptist churches, Church of Christ, Mennonite background, Assemblies of God background, Catholic background. We have Lutheran background, and we also have Methodist background. Have I missed any? I would like to know. Good, I might have got them all. But we have a variety of backgrounds that are represented here in this small church in Jump River. We also have a variety of age generations, in case you might have missed that one, but we have a lot of varying age ranges. Those age ranges also bring variety and differences. And that's awesome. It is good. It's awesome to have a variety. What is it that brings us all here? What is it that brings us all together here in Jump River at this church, in Christ Community Church? Jesus Christ. Jesus. Our Lord has brought us here to function as a local church body, to serve and to worship Him. And I have to say that we are not here by accident. I've heard a couple of times, because of the variety of backgrounds, that it's not just one person that's referred to this, but we're kind of a church of misfits of sorts. Now I know you're all kind of smiling and chuckling. And because for whatever reason, the Lord has brought you here this morning, and I want you to know that there is no misfits in here. There is no one that does not belong here. That is the amazing work of Christ and the amazing work of the Holy Spirit. Yet there are times where there are differences. Not just our church. I would say every church that has more than two people attending will at some point find differences. Differences on some levels. People are unique individuals, and together we work as one body. And the church in Philippi was no different from the churches today. Same thing, variety and differences. So what does Paul write to the church struggling with differences and struggling with disunity, like the church in Philippi? What does he tell them? Well, first of all, he encourages them. I would say a lot of what we read in this the letter to the Philippian church is encouragement. He encourages them first and foremost to live lives worthy of the gospel. The primary area of encouragement is, if you're struggling to live your life for Christ, you need to address that first. If you are loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, that's where you find the connection with God. Living a life worthy of the gospel. We saw some of this in the first chapter of Philippians. Philippians 1:27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So what else does Paul do? He encourages them to work at being one. You want to know something? Even in a marriage. Even in a recently married couple, one that's still kind of in the honeymoon phase. Not looking at you, Justine, but there are differences between spouses. And you have to work at it. You have to work at being one. And Paul is telling this church in Philippi many times about the different things, what they could do to work as one. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, he tells the church a little more. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In order to work at being like-minded, you have to know those around you. Be of the same love, same spirit, same purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, and consider others better than yourselves. Look also at the interests of others. Can any of these be done if the worshipers in the Philippian church did not get to know each other? They can't. They have to know each other. There is a strong push to build relationships with those around them so that they may know them better, to know their mind, to know their interests, to look beyond themselves. And I think this is one of the hardest activities in many churches. Do any of us have the fullest of fellowship with other believers? Oh, I think we do really good here. I do. I love how after the service that many of the people don't just race out of here. They spend time speaking to one another, enjoying being around each other. Like I said, we do this very well here in our church. But there's always room for improvement. And I know other churches that are struggling, and a good part of that struggle is because those who gather every Sunday morning to worship together, they really don't like being around each other. They spend an hour together on a Sunday morning, and other than that, they don't see each other. I know churches like that, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, we don't have to be the best of best friends, but we need to know each other. We need to care for one another. That's what Paul wanted for the church in Philippi. We don't just need the vertical relationship with the Lord, but we need the relationships with each other. I know in our Sunday school this morning, Nelson was... It's really neat to when some of the lessons merge together. But I know he made a comment that just really, really stuck with me. He goes, if the relationship isn't right with the Lord, then the relationships with each other isn't going to be right either. And that's so true. We do need that first relationship with our Lord, and we need the relationships with each other. And sometimes that being intentional about building relationships with each other may seem sometimes like a sacrifice. Building friendships for me has never been easy. Maybe it's my introverted personality. Well, my wife has been good to help me in that area, because for her that's not difficult to build friendships. But I can remember my younger years, that was a chore. But being intentional may also mean that on a Sunday morning you may have to put off spending the entire hour after the service with your best friend and see him a different time or her a different time and go visit and connect with people you don't know that well. Building relationships with those that you don't know really well, that's kind of what needs to happen in order to build the friendship. But what if we're doing all those things? What if we are intentional in our relationship with the Lord? What if we are intentional with our relationships with each other and the differences continue? Well, Paul has something to say about that too. And he encourages the Christians in Philippi to not add to the problem of disunity through arguing and complaining. Pretty short verse, or at least what I have listed here. Do everything without complaining or arguing. See, such activity within that church in Philippi, you may also call it grumbling, but it's not looking for a positive solution. It is simply destructive talk that only leads to further conflict. This activity isn't looking for any unifying solution, and it brings no help to resolving differences. Our words should instead encourage one another to build each other up, press on in knowing Christ. To know Christ is above all the most important. And if the church is working at all these things and the differences remain, if the church in Philippi is doing all those things and that difference remains, what should they do then? And that is trust the Lord. Press onward and upward. And let's get back to our verses that we are covering today. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. See, Paul looks back on his life. He looks back on what God has taught him and the understanding that he has realized. He realizes that the Lord has changed him in so many ways. What the Lord did for Paul, the Lord will do for others. This isn't just for the Philippian church, and this isn't just for our church. It's for everyone. This is for all believers. Let our primary desire be to know Christ more today than yesterday. And He will reveal Himself to us. Let us desire to know Christ more today than we did yesterday. Then we get to verse 16. And Paul brings us one more little tidbit with regard to maturity that we've already attained. And spiritual maturity is a journey. Just like we think of maturity when it comes to being adults. Many of us have known some very mature teenagers who speak and act very much like adults, while we also maybe know some adults who struggle to show any form of adult maturity. Please don't look around and smile and point fingers. But the more adult-like, the more mature we are. But when does someone really become mature? I had that question. When does someone really become mature? Is it at age 18? How about 21? How about 30? How about 40? I can shake my head, no. Well, what about 60? I was hoping Mick would be here this morning. How about 96? Can you say that you're mature, finally, fully mature, at 96? I guess we'll have to ask him another day. When do we get there? When do we get to maturity? And the best answer I can come up with, or I could think of, maybe you'll have a better one, that would be great. But I would say that you are mature when you are most adult-like in speech and actions and thoughts, but there will always be room for improvement. And that's how our spiritual maturity is as well. When your speech and actions and thoughts are most reflective of Christ, but there's always areas to improve. Meaning you will never be perfect in this time and place. But what is Paul getting at in verse 16? I think he's getting at that no matter where you are in your spiritual maturity, never fall backwards. Don't lose the ground that you have already pressed onward and upward into. You have learned how to look at the interests of others. You may have struggled but gained ground in not complaining or grumbling. Don't let the difficult times bring you back to where you have come from. I'm definitely including myself here. This is just as much for me as it was for the church in Philippi. Sometimes it's hard not to revert back to old habits. But the Lord has shown us a better way of doing things, a better way to live, a better way to relate with others. As we've gone through this book in Philippians, or the letter to the Philippians, we've seen how Paul has been instructing them of a better way to live, and that's to follow Christ's example. Don't fall back. I know it happens sometimes, but don't quit. Paul says, press on. Press forward. It's a better way of life because it's Jesus' way. I wanted to hit a little on verse 17. It won't be long. Philippians 3:17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Paul may not be perfect, but his maturity is an example to follow. And although this translation uses brothers, the statement could be best understood as brothers and sisters. We together are told to follow Christ. Paul was leading by example, and we can follow his example too. We are not to judge, but we are to take note of those who are living according to the pattern set out. We are to take note because there are those who are more mature that we can be challenged to follow their footsteps in the same way, to be more Christ-like, to press on in. Again, don't give up. Press on. Press on together. And I know I bounced around a lot today, and I know that I was bringing up some verses that we've already covered. But even though we get small pictures going verse by verse, we do have a bigger picture too. Pressing on and knowing Christ, pressing on together as one body, is the picture Paul is encouraging the church in Philippi to have. And that is the vision that we must carry on too. That's where we need to go as well.